Let me tell you a story, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you a little story about the Mueller probe. Sit down, gather round the Loftus Party Gypsy Camp campfire, and hear about 22 months and about $25 million. I'm not so mad about the money. It's a horrible segue. But I want to jump right in. The things, I guess I want to focus on the good things about this today. I'm really not bummed about the money. Some people are like, oh my gosh, $25 million. Come on. This is the United States government. They got a lot of our dough. Here's what I'm happy about. We got Gypsy coming in from the other Liberty camp somewhere in North America. I want to know what you're happy about. I know you had a big day. I know you're having a big day on Twitter. You've had a couple of big days on Twitter. I'm just happy about this, and I really am. And I think it was your boy, the pirate congressman, Crenshaw. Is that his name?
Yeah, Dan Crenshaw.
He said something that I thought was great. He's like, everyone should be happy about this. Your president is not a foreign agent.
But like, they're not.
They got to hang on to that anger. See, here's the deal. You got to beware of righteous anger. Righteous anger is the devil. When you are sure you're right and you have all the morals and everything right is on your side, rah, 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 rah. These people, they're like, they're like battered dogs. You know, you see those sad commercials with the dog, you know, and it takes them a while to put the leash on the dog. That's what the liberals are like right now. They've been beaten for the past 2 years. And now here come a bunch of like happy libertarians and Republicans like, hey, it's okay. See, it's okay. The guy with the stick is gone. And they're still scared.
I don't want to. They're just scared that they can't make him the boogeyman anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's their biggest fear. It has nothing to do with, like, I can't even imagine, as much as I vehemently disagreed with Barack Obama, being happy if the office of the president was compromised. Like, that just doesn't even make any sense to me.
That's the big difference. A million years ago, did I tell this story last week? A million years ago, I was working in Vegas. I was on the Jameson Comedy Tour when Obama won the first time, beat McCain. Mm-hmm. And my buddy Pete Coriale is like, hey, Mike, you gonna be all right, buddy? You gonna be okay? Your guy didn't win. And I'm like, you know what? My guy didn't win, but I just have to hope that I was wrong about Obama, and I have to hope that he'll do the best for the country, and I'm not going to take anybody bad-mouthing him who's not from this country. And Pete just, like, died laughing. He's like, that's what I love about you guys, you know? Because if your boy would have won and my guy would have lost, we'd be rioting in the streets, bro.
Pretty much, and they did.
Right, but that's how it goes. It's like, it's how many different metaphors can you use? It's like being on an airplane and hoping that something happens to the pilot, you know? It's like...
They want the economy to tank. They want our president to be compromised. They want, I mean, like, anything to make the other side look bad, even if it's detrimental to, like, millions of people.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's. I'm sure you've read the 4-page report. It came out. I was on a plane back from Vegas. It came out like right before we took off. I disobeyed a flight attendant's instruction. I disobeyed a direct order to turn my phone into airplane mode so I could read the little 4-page letter.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I thought was a little bit, they were talking about the obstruction, and they were like, they were kind of split 50-50 whether it was obstruction or not, but that was all, it seemed to me, I might be wrong, but that was based on things that the president had done publicly. So it seems like their big complaint about it is that Trump was tweeting, and he was calling it a witch hunt and saying it was BS for the last 22 months. You really can't fault the guy for that. Well, if somebody tried to send me to jail for something I didn't do, I'd be bitching about it too.
My thing is this. couple of things, right? There's this really nifty little feature in our criminal justice system called innocent until proven guilty. So it's
What? Has
not
anyone
up
told
to
Kavanaugh?
it's not up to Trump to prove a negative. It's up to the prosecutor to prove he did something illegally. The burden of proof is totally on their side. Clearly, they didn't have it. If Mueller had a scintilla of something he thought he could use towards obstruction, then he would have. Second of all, Barr is a genius, an absolute genius. Did you see who he had sign off on the decision not to charge him with it?
Whom?
Rod Rosenstein,
Oh, yeah.
the deputy AG, who, as far as I know, is leaving the department. What motive would he have to sign off on that if he didn't actually agree with it? Because basically, what Barr laid out was, in order for somebody to obstruct justice, there has to be an underlying crime. There was no underlying crime, and the president said 200, I mean, all these firefighters in the media that have been yammering for the last 48 hours, he said no collusion 243 times. Well, thank you for helping to prove that he had nothing to hide, because you can't obstruct justice if you have nothing to hide.
It's so like I've already like it's almost laughable. These people who are already saying, this there it's maybe Mueller was compromised and maybe this there's I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. I literally I the plane landed at the Burbank Airport, and I bolted straight home so we could do this. Literally. Why I'm waiting for my bag at baggage carousel. There's a dude on the phone, and this is he's like speaking to someone, and he's really upset. He's really upset, and he's like, "This is the," he goes, "This is bad, dude. This is bad. This is like Watergate. Any other time in our nation's history, this is Watergate. Get ready, buckle up, bro. Buckle up, bro." Like he's I and I don't know. I didn't have the energy to ask him, like, what about this is Watergate? Where's the conspiracy? Did they get to Mueller? Did they get to Rosenstein? And what do they have on him? That'll kind of be fun to watch. I want to see what happens on The View tomorrow. I want to see what
Oh, those
happens on the
women.
late night
Those women are
shows
gonna
on
melt
Monday.
down. Melt down. Like, Joy
You
Behar
think?
is gonna be so upset, like, her face is gonna melt.
How do you think they'll frame it? What do you think their big complaint is going to be? This is what I always like to do. I always like to it's not healthy for me mentally, but I like to think about this is how the enemy will probably fight. This is how the other side will probably go at it.
Well, here's what I've seen so far. The Sunday shows this morning, I don't know if you saw it or if you were up early enough or you were getting to the airport, but Trump this morning tweeted, "Good morning, have a great day, everyone."
I saw that. I thought that was great because they're like, he's been very quiet on Twitter.
He's
He's
been
been
very
very
quiet.
quiet. And he's probably like, Kellyanne, give me the phone.
No, it was like every freaking Sunday show, every host, every journalist. What does he mean by that? Well, maybe he means good morning. I don't know.
I think
If
he
we're
had an
really going to
awesome day
break that
playing
down for
golf with Kid
analysis,
Rock.
oh, come on. So, and then Joy Reid thinks Mueller's been compromised. I guess Putin got to him too.
I don't know,
Just.
and that's it's so crazy. And this, if for my liberal friends, for my friends who are Democrats, if you're still listening, if you haven't already turned it off, but you have no idea. And this would be actually a fun thing to talk about maybe on stage. It's like people like Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and all the opinion people on Fox News. We're like, what are we doing with Mueller in charge? Mueller, this thick and is everyone on his team, they're all liberals. These are bad dudes. It's gonna be bad. I mean, they were gloom and doom. They were gloom and doom about Mueller. It's not like for the past 22 months, the right and their opinion people were like, oh, we got Mueller. Don't worry about it. Mueller's in the bag. We got him.
Well, Here's the other thing I honestly believe, because I'm a cynic by nature, right? Like, you know this about me.
What?
Yeah, I'm a cynic by nature.
I know.
Okay? So, Mueller didn't want to get Comey'd.
What do you mean?
So, think about all, like, I tweeted out two pictures last night, one of an archangel and one of a devil, because that's what Mueller had become in, like, 48 hours. He had gone from this, you know, fighter for right and what is just and good to just the devil because he didn't find collusion. And there were, well,
oh.
We didn't know that he didn't find collusion at that point. We just knew there would be no new indictments.
Yeah, but, I see what you're saying now. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. He didn't want to get Comey'd, so he split the baby.
Yeah.
He said, no collusion, but I can't say for sure over here.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's
every headline, with the exception of Fox News and a couple of conservative outlets, said Comey could not clear Trump of obstruction of justice. It didn't say no collusion. It's like they've forgotten the fundamental reason that this investigation supposedly started.
Well, yeah, they just need anything for that negative headline. It just has to be negative. They have to keep that. It'll be interesting to see, because it has been, almost 2 years of this constant. And then you could actually argue, even before the Mueller thing started, it was, you know, Russia, Russia, Russia. We've had a couple podcasts where that was the title of the podcast. Right? I mean, they've been beating this drum nonstop since before Inauguration Day. And I would invite you all to go back, and I cannot remember the girl's name. It's an old episode we did. I think her name is Amy something, and she co-wrote the book about the Hillary campaign.
Oh yeah. You met her at Politicon.
I met her at Politicon, and we talk about the whole Russian collusion thing. And she's a Democrat. She's a liberal. She's a very sweet girl. Very good writer. Very talented. And she goes on in the book, and she tells about me on the podcast how they made it up.
Yeah.
They made it up. And
that
and
was,
the real thing.
That was the book.
Say what?
Shattered. That was the
book. Yeah. And that was, to me, the interesting thing, not the interesting thing, but like it's, you don't have to go too far down the highway to like all the people, I genuinely feel bad for these people. Like the dude who got off the airplane, who's like, it's worse than Watergate, bro. It's where, buckle up, bro. Like these people who've been listening to CNN, and they've been listening to MSNBC, and they've been listening to, you've seen it on Twitter. Tons of these greatest hits videos where it's the beginning of the end, circling the wagon. It's the beginning of the end. Like they've listened to this and they've really believed it. And they've been terrified for the past 2 years. And they've been absolutely certain that the president is a foreign agent. And it just isn't so, you guys. It just isn't so. So then you have to ask yourself, how did CNN get it? Did they get it that wrong for that long?
Yep.
Did MSNBC just make a big giant oopsie for the past 2 years? No, they have outcomes that they want. This goes straight to, you know, what you've always, the news is not supposed to pick sides, and they've picked a side for the past 2 years, and there ain't nothing there. They ain't nothing.
Well, not only that, but if you look at certain passages in the letter, right, one of the things Mueller said was that the purpose of Russia's activities during the election were to sow discord. And there is a memo going back to 2015 that went to people within the intelligence and law enforcement community that says, we've been identifying this since 2014. It was a contractor group, and I'm going to have to go back and find the letter. I think the Daily Caller broke it like forever ago. I think it was them. And it basically said they're doing this to sow discord. They're going to try to do it racially. They're going to they basically said everything they were trying to do to basically make America dysfunctional internally so that they couldn't focus externally. So
yeah.
The conclusion that Mueller came to, contractors and the law enforcement intelligence complex already knew.
Yeah, It's mission. That's the best like 30 grand a foreign government ever spent.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you wanted to sow some serious discord and have people have a great weeping and gnashing of teeth over something, that was a really solid investment by Russia. I just want to say it for the record, just to get up on my soapbox. I still do not believe that it was the Russian government that hacked the DNC and got that stuff to WikiLeaks. I don't believe it for a second. I think that Podesta was just part of a good old-fashioned phishing scam. Somebody over in Eastern Europe got lucky as all hell, and they're like, I'm gonna guys, get this out there.
Russian hackers do not imitate the Nigerian priest. That's not what they do.
No.
No.
They do not.
If they are going to hack you, it's going to go... You probably won't even know.
Dig it.
Okay? That's the big thing. The second thing is this. If there was deliberate digital proof left behind that makes you think it's Russian, that probably means it's not.
Thank you. Thank you. It's they're
not that dumb.
Yeah, it's madness. I have to think that our good friend Andrew Apple's probably having not the best weekend today.
We told him.
We tried to.
We tried to tell him 2 years ago.
And here's the other thing. I feel kind of ripped off about this one too, because like when Trump got elected, you couldn't really publicly do the yay hooray happy dance.
Not
and now
California.
You know, here we are again. Here we are again, and I can't like publicly do the yay hooray happy dance. It just kind of this is twice I've been ripped off.
I've been doing the happy dance all over my Twitter timeline all day. I had to go to the store. I kind of had a lilt in my step going through the aisles. Like, Rachel Maddow fighting back tears on primetime television was probably the greatest thing I've ever seen.
That was kind of crazy. That was kind of crazy.
Awesome. I hope she went home and bawled her eyes out for the just massive jackass she's made of herself for the last couple of years.
Just buried herself in her girlfriend's neck and just said, rock me to sleep. Just rock me to sleep.
I do not believe there is another single commentator on an opinion show who has done more coverage on this issue and certainly not with the viewership. I mean, she and Hannity go neck and neck, and she and Tucker go neck and neck, right? In terms of the ratings. She is the biggest mouthpiece for this thing. And I hope she feels as dumb as she actually is about this. She's not a stupid woman, but she fell for this crap hook, line, and sinker.
Well, she's now just needs to find a way to spin it. They're going to talk about obstruction and this and that. I don't know how – they can't just drop it like a hot potato. They got to kind of like gently ease away from it. But yeah, and beware, watch out for that Rachel Maddow. Watch out for her. She beat Tucker, I think, two Fridays ago.
Constantly, Hannity and Tucker constantly go 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
It switches off and on all the time.
If she beat
Tucker this Friday, it's probably because so many people on the right were tuning in to see what she'd do.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's a little bit of Schadenfreude going on there. That's just beautiful. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the next thing. Right. So, I mean, Friday when the announcement came for no indictments, I don't know if you were on stage or if you saw it, but every Democratic presidential candidate, every sitting representative, we need to see the full report. Guys, you're not gonna. There's things that are actually against the law in there, like grand jury proceedings, so it's never gonna be released in full.
Yeah. But that's a great shield for them to hide behind. What is that, like a paper tiger? They can go, we just want to see the full report. We demand full transparency. And they know damn well and good you can't show the whole thing.
They can't have it. Well, and the other thing now is we're going to subpoena Robert Mueller to testify in front of the House Intelligence. You do that, Schiff. Please do that so Robert Mueller can turn around and give you a big fat middle finger, because he's not allowed to do that either by the special counsel law that Democrats insisted upon after Bill Clinton was investigated.
Yeah.
Mueller can't. Yeah. I mean, Ken Starr actually outlined a beautiful op-ed on this, because he, and when you read it, you realize that he was put in some positions that he would rather not have been in. He didn't necessarily think that he should be telling Congress about lying about having an affair, but under the rules at the time, he didn't have a choice.
Right.
So the rules that they put in place for the special counsel, yeah, he can't testify in front of Congress. He needs to do his job and keep his mouth shut. That's his job.
They can just keep making those demands, and it's just a good soundbite. It's just a good soundbite to help him get reelected. I saw Adam Schiff this morning.
Oh, my God.
They played a clip from him, and he looked especially crazy. Like, he had a bunch of lip gloss on, and his bug eyes were in full effect. I'm like, this dude is – like, seriously, there are times when that guy genuinely frightens me. Like, he genuinely – it's like out of a movie when you're up against, you know – When it's like medieval times and you've just invented a flying machine, and it's the Dark Ages, and the dirty priest wants to bring you up in front of the Inquisition and call you a witch. That's Adam Schiff, man. Adam Schiff is up on that Inquisition. Have you ever spoken to a pig? And he gives me the creeps.
He's subpoenaed 81 people.
Say
he's
what?
He's already done that.
Oh, yeah. The other one that just did it was that Ilhan Omar chick. She really scares me. Like, I do not want someone with that mindset in a position of power. It's just.
Did you see her speech in front of the CARE organization today?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God,
that woman
hates this country. Like, bringing her in, giving her refuge, 100% mistake.
Well, here's.
She's the poster girl. Poster girl, I tell you.
This is the it's the disconcerting part. It's the disconcerting part. And this goes back to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez answering a newspaper ad, where you've got some kind of board of trustees that are like, okay, we want to run somebody in this district. So we're going to interview all these people and pick the person that we think can really win. That, you know, we can check off all these. I don't think Ilhan Omar woke up years ago and like, I just want to be in public office. I really don't think that. I think she was encouraged by someone else. Who that someone else is, I don't know. But I don't think old Ilhan Omar is making all of her decisions. I think some of her decisions are probably helped along by some dudes in back rooms who it's part of a greater plan.
Maybe, except for the fact this is definitely her ideology. She has been in activism, public life, in previous political positions long enough to know. I mean, she advocated in the Minnesota state legislature for leniency against an ISIS recruit.
Yeah.
Like, this was all on her public record before she ever ran to go to D.C., and her district elected her in spite of it.
Right. What I'm saying is, back when she first started getting into public office, there are people around who are like, yup, you should be the one who says this. You should be the
she's a woman.
I don't know if I'm being clear or not, but it's like there's other forces at work. And I know it sounds like really conspiracy theorist.
No, but when you see Linda Soursore in the halls of Congress giving her CARE, you know, thugs instructions about who can get near this congresswoman, oh, you bet there's a machine behind that woman. Absolutely.
And doing it in Arabic. Like, that was spooky. That was like out of a movie.
Well, it's just like, that's not your job in the halls of Congress. You're a visitor, Linda. Back it up.
back way the F up. Well, I know
back
that I know
up.
That Ilhan Omar did something in Woodland Hills the other day, and there was a bunch of people protesting, and they had their American flags out, and Sabo, that street artist, put some posters up on bus stops and stuff. But I don't know. I have no idea what Ilhan Omar said. Was it disturbing?
Those protesters are out there. They're either Jewish, they're pro-Israel. She got protested again today. She's speaking at Islamist events. There's a difference between a Muslim and an Islamist.
Yeah.
Okay, Islamists are... they believe in political Islam. That's the best way to put it. They
yes.
believe in Islam as the overarching life instruction, not just your religion, but your political system, your social system, etc. So Islamists believe in the whole ball of wax, whereas there's a huge group of reformist and secular Muslims in this country who see it as their religion. That's it. You know? So,
yeah.
I mean, she's speaking at CARE, which is an Islamist organization. So the people outside are protesting her anti-Semitic statements, her anti-Semitic behavior in the past. And, I mean, inside she was basically, oh, yeah, there's some interesting people outside, but I don't think they understand the people in this room don't care what they think or couldn't care less what they think.
Yeah, I'm telling you that
from her position, the question of U.S. support for Israel, you know, policy, et cetera, it's not even up for debate. It's just wrong.
It is. I'm telling you, Adam Schiff, like, makes me nervous. Ilhan Omar makes me nervous. AOC, at least Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is easy on the eyes, but she says some stuff, and it's like, it's once again, if you listen to this podcast, you are ahead of the game. Because remember a couple weeks ago when I was saying that the Green New Deal is like a reverse car salesman, mm-hmm. you know, they ask for all of this
Everything.
Stuff.
Yep.
They ask for all this stuff. And then when they only get, when you ask for a $1 trillion and then you go, okay, I'll settle for $1 trillion. You still got a freaking $1 trillion. And that's what the Green New Deal is. And she said it, she let it slip out the other day. She was on some talk show and she's saying, it's our North Star. It's our North Star. That's what they're aiming for. And they'll be happy. They know it's ridiculous. And everybody's like, you know, even myself included, like, what's the world going to look like without airplanes and all this stuff? But, like, you have to, like, reject this Green New Deal wholeheartedly.
Wholesale.
You have to. Yeah, the whole thing. Just don't even bring it up again.
God.
And this whole thing with Ilhan Omar and her, like, anti-Semitic tweets and attitudes and behaviors, you just got to reject that wholesale. And that's the other wonderful thing about this whole Mueller probe. It's like, while no one's looking, you know, it didn't really get the fanfare. I think the embassy did, but Trump just with the Golan Heights and stuff. Who's been better to Israel than Trump? How can they possibly call that dude anti-Semitic?
Well, because it just rolls off their tongue.
Dig it.
Dig it, dude.
Dig it. It's just right there, anti-Semitic racist.
You're watching all this anti-Semitic tropes come out of this woman. Meanwhile, Hamas is over in Gaza killing Palestinians, beating them.
What, because they helped an Israeli?
No, the Palestinians are protesting against Hamas, and they're getting bullets shot at them and the crap beat out of them for it. And none of the media is covering it.
Of course not. It's like, do you know the yellow vest thing is still going on?
19 weeks now.
Still going on.
Yep.
And they're not going to cover that. And they're certainly not going to cover Hamas killing Palestinians. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out, like, the Palestinians are not being helped by Hamas. They are just, it's like, you know, when Obama's like, hey, we tried this deal with Cuba. We've been trying it for a long time. It's not working out. Time to change things up. And I totally embrace that. I'm like, mm-hmm. let's do that with everything. hey, our war on poverty, we've been trying the same thing for a long, long time. It's not working out. Let's mix it up. And I wish the Palestinian people would do that. And it sounds like there's some of them are trying to. Hey, I know we let Hamas and people like Yasser Arafat call the shots for a long, long time, but our lives are still horrible. It's still like horrible over here. So maybe we mix it up. Maybe we mix it up. Mix it up everywhere, people.
Maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea.
For real. It's the best. I have genuine sympathy for some poor Palestinian person who thinks that they don't have a future and, you know, they just want to be happy and raise their family. Same with the people in Israel. And I think your average, ordinary, everyday Palestinian just wants a place to live and know that he's going to be safe where he sleeps at night and his family's going to be okay. And unfortunately, Hamas and those douchebags have been running the show for too long. Their lives are gone. It's insane when you go over to Israel and it's like a cartoon. It is like a cartoon. You've got green, lush, beautiful, nice homes, little villages. It's just wonderful. And then you literally cross the border and it's just garbage. It's just like wow, it's heartbreaking. But it's like Atlantic City. You know, you go to Atlantic City, and you're like, the casinos aren't so bad. It's kind of nice. And then you go one block the wrong way and you're like, what happened here? What happened here? I'd be so pissed if I would be so pissed if I was a Palestinian, right?
Can I just say you are the only person I have ever heard compare Middle Eastern politics to Atlantic City.
It's true. And the people of Atlantic City, the poor souls that still live there, and they're looking at these casinos and they're like, man, we got these casinos. Where's that money going? Where is that money going? It's got to drive them crazy. It's got to drive, you know, the Palestinians crazy, especially when you live where you can see it. You can look. It's like El Paso, Texas, and Juarez, you know? You can literally stand on the hillside in El Paso and look across the border, and you're like, man, they are hurting in Juarez. And if you're in Juarez, you got to be looking at, hopefully, your own leadership going, why is my life so crappy? Right. Why
can't I have that?
And you can see it. Yeah. You can see it. That's got to be the most frustrating thing. There's a prison outside of Vegas. When you drive into Vegas from California, you drive by this place. I can't remember. There's a little casino and there's a roller coaster. I forget the name of this little town.
And a prison.
There's like everything nice. Everything nice and good and wonderful about America is right by the freeway. And then if you look up the hill, there's a prison.
Oh my God.
And it's like, if you're doing time in that jail, I'm like, move my room.
I don't want to be on the roller coaster side.
I don't want to be able to hear the voices of the happy people as they, no. That's the worst. That's the worst when you got to witness it, when you got to see it. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
So it's a happy day. It's a good day. I'm very pleased with the results of the finding of the Mueller report. It's all like, listen, and I said this in my video on YouTube, which is doing great, by the way. I'm so thrilled. I'm getting very close to 5,000. I'm within striking distance of 5,000. I'm excited like a kid on Christmas. But I said it in this week's video that the people on the left, you just have to come to, and I know it's going to be hard for them, Trump beat Hillary fair and square. That's what it came down to. The people of America, we did the Obama thing for 8 years,
right.
And we were on the wrong track. We were on the wrong track. And so we voted for Donald Trump. When the choice was between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, we went with Donald Trump. That's it. No Russia collusion. No, nothing big nefarious. Nobody broke into voting machines. We literally just liked that dude better. And he's crushing it. Here's some other news that was buried that you probably didn't hear about, most people listening, I'm sure you did. The GDP, that number just came out 2 days ago. 3.1.
Oh, you mean we can grow at 3% again? Obama was wrong?
Yes, and all the people who were like, oh, well, this is just big business. This is just the big fat bankers. This is the big fat bankers just being, it's a sugar high. It's a sugar high. These Trump policies aren't going to work out. You watch. These Trump policies aren't going to work out. Yeah, 3.1 GDP. They say it's the best number in 14 years.
Huh. Imagine that.
The best. What were we doing for the last eight? Oh, that was Obama. So that's a big hunk of that. It's fantastic.
Well, 12 years would have been the beginning of the Obama administration. Now, Obama's left kind of a little bit of a crap basket
because of
the housing bubble, and I'll give him that. But he certainly didn't put pro-growth policies in place to come out of it.
Exactly. It's like the same thing with Franklin Roosevelt. He was, I will admit it. That guy had a tough row to hoe. But it's amazing how if you get government out of the way, people will find the solution. It's amazing.
He ran three times. He would have run for a fourth if he hadn't died.
And that should scare everybody.
Yeah.
It's funny, but I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Like, what would I have done? Because you really could make the solid case for, you know, it's World War II. This is really, really big. And do we want to switch up now? Do we want to change the game plan now? Our enemies are hoping that. But I don't know.
It wasn't limited at that point. Limiting the president to two terms came after FDR.
I know that they made it a law after that, because it was like a gentleman's agreement. Like nobody goes for three.
Well, yeah, I guess nobody had. Well, Washington started it, right? Like, we just left the monarchy. But I honestly, like, I've read more about Franklin Delano Roosevelt recently. I mean, like, when I grew up, he was the Depression president, and he got my grandparents out of the Depression, so there was all this, like, love for him, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then you went to see the movie Annie, and there he's singing The Sun'll Come Out Tomorrow with her and, who was that, Albert Finney?
Yeah, Albert Finney, good call.
You know, and whoever played, you know, Eleanor in that movie was way better looking than Eleanor actually was. But so you had all this like lovely stuff around him, right? We won the war and the Depression ended and da-da-da-da-da. And then you look what actually happened. He put this huge oppressive government structure in place to come out of the Depression. And the only thing that really brought you out of the Depression was the fact that we were in a war.
Yes.
I mean, and that's the other thing about the Green New Deal, guys, wholesale, you have to say no to this thing. They talk about it like a World War II mobilization. All of those government departments Roosevelt put in, first of all, they went away at some point when the war was over. Duh. Right?
Yeah.
This climate thing ain't ever going to be over. You're going to have that much government regulation forever. Number one. Number two, if you hadn't had the actual war against something, right, against another country, none of that stuff would have happened. Not to mention, our grandmothers and great-grandmothers knew how to garden, so there were victory gardens, so rationing wasn't as big a deal. They could grow their own stuff. How many people today can grow their own stuff?
It is.
We can't
it
a gypsy is, camp. Don't come here.
Yeah, yeah. I would do okay just because I grew up in a household
Ohio.
That knew how to garden. If you look at every other country that went through the Depression, they just had a depression. They just had a little. It was bad for a couple of years, and then it got better. But because of the giant socialist power grab and the Roosevelt policies, mm-hmm. we had the Great Depression. He actively made things worse. I don't know what would have – if World War II doesn't happen, oof.
We were screwed.
Oof. Oh, bigly. Bigly screwed. It was –
Here's the other thing.
There's
the best
more?
supporting actress tweeted out last night, and this is bad, Michael. This is bad.
Do tell. Do tell.
She's talking about how financial institutions have to protect their reputations, like what she and her little fascists did on college campuses related to the endowments investing in fossil fuels. This leads directly to people getting cut off from payment processors and banking institutions and credit cards for having wrong ideas. They're talking about doing it to the gun manufacturers. They've already talked about doing it to the fossil fuel industries. No, financial institutions need to serve everyone just like every other business.
This goes back a couple podcasts with when we had Martina Marcota on.
Uh-huh.
Just you, we don't want to bank with you. Goodbye. You've been on. So
I think the law actually needs to be made that you can't do that. As long as someone is current and paying their bills and paying, you know, everything's above board and the commitments between customer and banking institution are met, you have to serve them. Why is it okay not to serve people in that industry? I don't understand.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be pretty hard pressed to prove that, like, okay, this person is advocating to, you know, they're trying to raise money to overthrow the government or something. But then, even as I say it, like, well, maybe it's not a bad idea. It's terrifying. It's really scary. And what's gonna? I think Joe Biggs got thrown off. You know, Chase Bank got rid of Joe Biggs, and Chase Bank got rid of Martina Marcota. And if these other places, like, what are you supposed to start a new bank? Because that's what everybody says. You know, oh, if you don't like Twitter, just start your own thing. If you don't like Facebook, just start your own thing. And this is, there will be another Facebook. There will be another.
Oh yeah,
Twitter.
Guys, what's MySpace now?
Oh man, poor MySpace. Did you hear about that?
Oh yeah. Or are you kidding me though? You know why that happened, right?
Yeah, what was the there was something nefarious going on there.
Well, it's not okay, so I don't know for a fact that this happened,
but
it's too funny.
The cult of the dead cow?
Yes, it's too funny that it happened in the order it happened in, because apparently some investigative reporter over at Reuters had understood that Beto O'Rourke was a member of a hacking club called Cult of the Dead Cow.
Which they have an awesome t-shirt, by the way. I will give it up for Cult of the Dead Cow. The t-shirt looks sweet.
Okay, I believe you. I haven't seen the t-shirt. I might buy the t-shirt. So he was a part of this group, right? I don't know how technically proficient he was, or if it was just the cool thing to be or whatever, but Reuters had this, like, when he was running for Senate. They chose not to publish it. Now that he's running for president, they publish it. And apparently these guys had a bunch of stuff on MySpace, along with a lot of Beto's concert appearances. And, like, within 2 to 3 days, all of MySpace's electronic files got corrupted and went kaboom. I find that a little interesting.
Oh, it is. It is. It's like it's like in the spy movie, you have the foreign spy gets on a 747, and you know they have to kill the spy, but they have to make it look like an accident. Unfortunately, everybody else on the plane, you know, is killed as well, and that's what my heart breaks for. Like, they lost so much music. So much music is gone just because they wanted to cover Robert Francis's tracks as a member of the Cult of the Dead Cow. I mean, man, they lost like millions and millions of songs. If you're in a band and you had your stuff on MySpace, you're just heartbroken. I mean, hopefully you have backups. God, I hope those guys have backups. But what a rough, rough morning. It's sad. MySpace. I always root for MySpace. I always root for MySpace. Justin Timberlake took that over. He bought that a few years ago. I know I got an email from MySpace, because I never like deleted everything. I just never went back. I just never went back.
I got an
email
MySpace.
From MySpace. It was like hearing from a dead relative. It was like getting an email from my grandmother who's been dead for years. It was terrifying, but it's actually a cool thing. It's like if you're in a band, that's what Timberlake's trying to do. He's trying to make it all about the music, all about the music. And then for them to lose everything, just brutal, brutal.
Wow.
I liked MySpace. I liked MySpace so much more than Facebook.
Really?
I know that may. Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Wow. MySpace, you're dating yourself.
I know I am. I got into MySpace right at the very end. A buddy of mine, actually, were you ever on MySpace?
No.
Okay, the first
no, my oldest
you would
son
make an
was,
account.
And that was it.
Yeah, you would make an account, and like, I forget the name. I think his name was Bill or something. That was like, or Tom. Tom, the first friend you got, you automatically got a friend. Tom, who got you started, and that's the guy. It was actually
Tom
the picture of the guy.
Ya.
Yeah, but yeah. Tom was actually the guy who started MySpace, and a buddy of mine out here in L.A. is actually friends with Tom. And don't worry about Tom. Tom
Tom's
did
doing
okay.
All right.
Tom saw the handwriting on the walls, and he made a big fat sale before Facebook came in. However,
nice.
Here's the wonderful thing about MySpace: you could choose your own background. And as well as decorating it with photos and what did you want people to see, and you could have preset music. So if somebody clicked on my profile, boom, you know, I'd have a song by like the Rolling Stones playing, and you could have little playlists, and it's like it was so much more like personal. It was just
and
so
customizable.
Yeah, it was like in perfect and wonderfully named. It was like MySpace. It was like mm-hmm. your little space on the internet. And then Facebook came along, and I'm like, wow, that's just cold. Facebook is just that's just cold, and it still kind of is. But that's where everybody went. Yeah. Poor MySpace.
I just can't. The thing that drives me nuts about Facebook, my Twitter timeline is chronological. Like. When I pull up my lists, I see the tweets in the order in which they were tweeted. I cannot get my Facebook feed to go back to chronological to save my life. So I'm wishing a happy birthday to my friend's daughter whose birthday was 5 days ago because the thing just popped up on my feed.
Oh, jeez.
It's like, guys, like, chronological is fine.
Yeah. I don't know why it's like and Twitter does this. I guess they have giant divisions of people who are trying to improve the customer experience. But after just like
stop,
just stop. Let
stop.
It let,
I
it,
like
let
it
rest
the way
for
it
a couple months.
I like it the way it is. You cannot make my conversations more healthy.
They had this really wonderful system in place on Facebook where if you know if somebody liked something, it was really easy for them to invite them to like and follow the Loftus Party. Well, they've buried that in a big pile of data garbage. So now it's so
big pile of doo doo.
It is. So if you're listening to the podcast.
Why can't I invite people to like the page? I'm like, I have no idea.
They had this really, I swear, on my phone, I would just, because I would check on Facebook on my phone, and there was like this thing, it was like, hey man, 21 people who liked your stuff might want to follow the Loftus Party. Do you want to invite them all? And I'm like, yeah, boom, click, bang, done.
Right?
And now that button no longer exists. It makes me sad. However, things are going well. I can't complain. If you're listening to the podcast, keep inviting people, keep sharing the stuff. It's all going wonderfully well. It's all going wonderfully well. And I ran into a buddy of mine in Vegas. I just love being able to say that, who was, writing for the Loftus Party. And it looks like he's going to be coming back and he's going to be brewing something else with him. They're very, very talented writers. They're very, very good people. So there'll be even more great content at the Loftus Party. I've discovered some other things that I cannot wait to share. There's so many great movies out there and trailers and all that stuff. No, I haven't seen Captain Marvel yet.
Oh, God.
I know.
You have to know what happened, though. You cannot have avoided spoilers to this point.
I have. I've been so hyper-focused. Last week in Las Vegas was really, really wonderful. It was really great. Maybe I'm getting old. Maybe I'm maturing, but I got a lot of stuff done. I was putting out at least two things, sometimes three. on theloftusparty.com, and I'm discovering, and I don't want to give anything away, but stay tuned this week. There's a lot of good stuff coming down the parkway.
Uh-oh.
And then I was doing shows and getting a lot of business stuff done and reaching out to people. It was all wonderful. It was super productive. And then the shows were great. I'm so used to going out and doing these deplorable shows where it's just like politics. We all feel good because we're all on the same side of the issues and blah, blah, blah. So it was fun to kind of like, I'm like, people are on vacation. It's Vegas. I'm not going to do any politics. I'm just going to do all, relationship and observations and quirky, weird crap. And it was great. It was great. So I'm not leaning on the political crutch too hard. However, I can see a day. I'm a visionary. You need to know that about me, Gypsy. I'm a visionary. I can see the day when the worlds collide, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome when, like, the regular fans of my stand-up coincide with the political fans, and those two worlds come together, and it's just going to be the coolest thing ever. It's just going to be the coolest thing ever. I cannot wait.
Well, very hopeful. Very hopeful.
Oh, I know it. I know it for a fact because it's great. Here's what you do. Like, you keep just plugging away. You just keep plugging away. You know, you just do the work, have your fun, do your thing. And I got a great phone call. Here's the thing that gives me hope. Last week, I'm tweeted by the President of the United States.
Right?
That's freaking huge. That's awesome. And that came from an appearance on Fox News. So I'm getting on the radar. Then on Friday, I get a phone call, and it's like a 212 area code. And I'm like, uh-oh. So, I don't put it together, but it's New York. And I answer, and it's a producer from Fox News. Hey, did you get the email? And I'm like, I didn't. I was on a conference call for the past hour and a half. She's like, oh, we're wondering if you're available for Tucker Carlson. We want to know if you can comment on the millennials think this and millennials are doing that. And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. So it's like hurry scurry. It's like frantic, you know? Mm-hmm. She's like, okay, we'll send a car. Where are you staying? I'm like, I'm at the MGM. Okay, so go get your talking points together. The car will be there at 5. We'll get you to the thing. And I'm like, oh, shoot, Tucker Carlson. And then, of course, the Mueller report dropped.
Yeah, and you got dropped.
So I got bumped. But like, it's all right there. It's all right there.
Well, and you got the Fox and Friends
couch. One tweet
away
from greatness. Say what?
You got the Fox and Friends couch when you were in New York, yeah?
Yeah, which was an absolute blast. I cannot wait to go back.
Apparently it looks like a funeral on CNN now, according to live commentary.
Oh, that's great.
They're not
that's
even
great.
Looking at the camera. They're all like looking at the table. This is fantastic.
It's like election night. It's like election night all over again.
I'm not even like sorry that Dana Bash feels bad. I'm not.
I didn't even
vote for the guy, and the last 48 hours have been worth everything.
Yes. Yes.
The mask was off. Now it's on the floor.
It is crazy, but that is a great metaphor because that's been a constant refrain here on this show that like the wonderful side effect of the Trump presidency is the mask is off. You now know beyond a shadow of a doubt who's on whose side, and it's not good for our republic, you guys. When news organizations, supposed news organizations, take sides, and then you go, well, you're on Fox News. Aren't you taking a side? Yes, you could make that argument. However, when every news outlet is coming at it from the same direction, from the same frame of reference, and from the same political point of view, yeah, I'm going to do Fox News. You bet your ass I'm going to do Fox News. Because people have to start standing up and being counted. And Fox News wasn't just born in a vacuum. Fox News didn't start because, hey, you know what? Let's just start. It, this came after years, decades of realizing, holy smoke, we're getting our butts handed to us. Go back and look at the way they treated Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
Look at the way they treated Ronald Reagan.
Look at the way they cover him now.
Yeah.
It's even worse.
Well, Trump is Reagan to the 10th power. You know, they just like, well, if we called, Reagan a racist, Trump has to be a super racist, white supremacist, Hitler neo-Nazi.
They just have to make it that much worse. McCain was Hitler. Romney was Hitler. Like, those
yes.
comparisons have been being made ever since Clinton went out of office.
It is the constant refrain.
Can I just tell you, did you actually see Donald J. Trump's statement today when he was getting on the plane?
No, I didn't.
Oh, he is visibly annoyed but vindicated.
Oh.
Visibly annoyed.
I want to watch it all. I want to meet that dude. I want to meet that dude. I want to meet Don Jr. I want to meet Eric. I want to meet Milan. I want to meet the whole family. I want to hang out with these people. It's got to be so. This is going to be great. It's a very, very noble thing. A lot of people have been talking about, you know, Trump like he's the second coming and all this stuff. But they've been on the Trump train a lot longer. But if you think about it, with all the outrageous slings and arrows that dude has been suffering for the past 2.5 years, and he's still just like plugging away. Look what he's managed to accomplish so far. What the heck? What could we do if people actually supported the guy? What if he could get support from the old Paul Ryans of the world? No, you don't need a wall. You don't need a wall. Don't worry about it. We'll get the wall. We'll get the wall down the road. We'll get the wall. Don't worry about it. We'll get the wall down the road. If he could have some support from the right, that would be fantastic.
He golfed with Trey Gowdy this weekend. I didn't think that would be a thing.
Keep your eye on Trey Gowdy. Keep your eye on that dude. Knows what's up. Paul
Trey
Ryan
Gowdy is not attorney general under a Republican president. Someday it's going to break my heart. He'd be like the best attorney general ever.
We will see. But Paul Ryan landed at Fox News. Donna Brazile landed at Fox News. Those are we will have to discuss those next week. Here's the other thing that I'm going to do. So I'm going to go. I want to watch some news. I haven't seen any news all week. So this is the wonderful podcast. And thanks for supporting the channel and to the Patreon people. You're fantastic. Soon, maybe not this week, but next week, the master plan will be unleashed from the Patreon, which I think is going to be fantastic. I'm a visionary, Gypsy.
I can't wait to hear it.
I'm a visionary, and I tell you this right now, I'm also working on a plan for exclusive Patreon content. Nice. I got to do something. I got to give back. There's so much work to be done. So it's a fantastic week. It's wonderful. No collusion, no obstruction, yada, yada, yada. If you've been listening to this show, you've known it for years. You're all wonderful people. You're all individually beautiful.
Send us your best pictures of these anchors just losing their minds.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yeah. We will be doing caption this forever.
Yes. And you can always direct message me. My DMs are always open on Twitter, The Loftus Party, and on Facebook, my messages. You can always shoot me messages there. I want to start doing more like listener content. If you guys have like, listen, I'm having a blast with the Saturday Booty, and it's now like I'm gonna have to do like more than just one. There's so many like great, cool, interesting. I'm discovering new art and new artists, and there might be a Tata Tuesdays coming up. There's gonna be caption this, but you guys can always. Oh, and I got some killer new ideas for T-shirts that are just gonna be just freaking awesome. I'm a visionary. I can see it all. Now you just gotta, I gotta just do the work and make it happen. Have a great week.